Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the God of people as we explore the Word of God together. Tonight, we're going to hear what the Spirit has to say. If you have an ear, the Spirit say, let you hear what the Spirit is about to say through His Word. I thank God for the opportunity for allowing me to come before the people of God week after week. I come to tell you tonight, it's not because I'm so good. But God choose and do it the way that He want to do it. And I thank God for choosing me. And as many times, many people have always said that they didn't go looking for God. But God has a way of come looking for us. So tonight we're going to study the book of Revelation. We're going to be in the 13th chapter, and we're going to do the whole chapter. I ask that you would read the 13th chapter of Revelation, and some of you may have had a chance to do it, and some of you may have not. But when I play the song, if anyone doesn't have their Bible, I ask that you get your Bible and you'll be in position to follow the Word of God for yourself. And you could understand what is being said more clearly by looking at the printed text, the printed Word of God. So please, if you don't have your Bible, get your Bible and be in position to follow as the Word of God is being expounded upon. Lesson tonight, the title is The Antichrist. We're coming from Revelation 13 chapter. At this time, we're going to play a song. And when we get through with the song, our intercessor is going to do our first of the month prayer with our prayer list. If anyone have anyone they want to add to the prayer list, you can do so when she come on, and she could include it in the prayers that's going to be lifted up unto God. I want y'all to know tonight, y'all, God is able. And that's also the title of the song that I chose for tonight. It seems fitting to play this song. So as this song plays, listen to the message in it, and we'll come back to go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. Tell me who can make mountains move out of my way. Because of my faith. And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is today able. God is able, oh, and he won't fail. Tell me who will make a river out of a little stream, and who can tell the clouds to roll back so that the sun can look at me, and who can tell the wind to never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
I hope you join that song because it is so true. God will never fail. He won't. He can't because of who he is. So at this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior, our own sister Pam, Pamela Wing. She has already pressed the one button. It's so delightful that people who have an assignment, they show up and you don't have to wonder if they're coming. You know, God honors that. And she's ready. She's ready to do the assignment that she has in her hand. And she's in place, in position. You know, you have to be in position to receive certain blessings from God. But I thank you, Sister Pam, tonight for your faithful service and always being in position. And I thank you. And you can continue now.
You're very welcome. Good night, everybody. The prayer list today, December the 2nd, 2020. Minister Diane and family, the family of Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, the McBride family, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, the Johnson siblings, Tammy Ditto, Maddie Lala and family, Devonda Caples, Maisha Bryan, Shamika Alexander, Beverly Ferguson, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, the Johnson family, the Joseph family, Gwen Ellis, Florida Kasia, Adrian and Marie, Patrice Oliver, Minister Carol Bridges, Aaliyah Williams, Devin Allen, Sharon, Nene, Jasmine, Sheila, the Moses and Mitchell family, the Little family, Tierra McKinney, James Olive, Sister Almita, Gwen Mullen, the Burrell family, Leona Buckner, the Prevost family, the Lewis family, Marguerite Singleton, Ruth Taylor, Raymond Reed, the Bridges family, the Stewart family, the House family, the Bird family, and Sister Elizabeth. First, giving honor to the Holy Trinity. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Father God, I pray that you continue anointing her head with the wisdom and knowledge that comes from you. Thanking you, Lord, Father God, for our Bible study each and every Wednesday night. Father God, we come on tonight lifting up each and every name on our prayer list and each and every person that's listening on tonight through the phone or internet. Father God, we all are standing in the need of a prayer right now. We need you, Lord Jesus, and it's nothing we can do without you. Father God, some of us need you for one thing, and some of us need you for something else. But you know all our needs, Father God, on tonight. And if it's your will, I pray that all our needs be supplied. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I say this prayer. Amen, and thank God.
Y'all sure will be looking out for me. Y'all give me studio so that I know that something is wrong. The mute button had was placed on the phone. But what I was saying after the prayer, that I thank Sister Pam so much. And what else I said was I wanted to give a greetings and a blessings to all of the people that listen on the internet and the people who follow the program, you know, different days. And, of course, there's many people in the United States of America, but I also have people that listen to the program in South America, South Africa, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, and Canada. And there are other countries that listen, but I only get a report of the highest five countries at a time. So I just want to say I thank each and every person that either call in on Wednesday night or dial or go on the internet and listen to the lesson or the previous lessons. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out your schedule to come and hear the word of God. I thank you and I thank God for each and every one of you. And now it's time for us to go in our lesson. I ask that everyone have their Bibles and I pray that you do. Remember, God wrote the word of God for you. God knows the Bible. And you be able to follow along better. So right now, I'm going to say the name again because many callers have came on the line since the name was said. But the title of the lesson is The Antichrist. We're coming from the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter. And as always, I'm going to give a little background. You know, we always look at the book of Revelation and we speak about the end times. So sometimes you have to take your back to come forward. And you have to understand how did all of this happen and why we're here where we are today and why is Jesus given John revelation, which means to reveal what's going to happen in the future. Well, we got to start with the purpose. You see, Satan had been tempting mankind from the beginning of time, started with Eve in the Old Testament. You see, he tricked her. She ate what she shouldn't have, and she even gave some to Adam. That's what brought sin into the world. So because of the things going on in the world today, you have to realize that it's a sin problem. Many times people say, how could God allow? God may allow, but he didn't orchestrate all of the suffering and the pain and the disease. That came in with sin. So you need to know that. But you see, it was sin when it came into the world which caused man to receive all of the sickness, tragedy, calamities, trials, tribulation, adversities, but it also gave us the penalty of debt. We was going to receive the penalty of debt. Sin brought in debt. And it also carried along with it damnation, that we would all have to die and go to hell. You see, Satan thought that he had it made in a shade after he had Adam and Eve and they ate the fruit and death was present and damnation was to follow. He thought he had it made in a shade. But oh, on one night in a town of Bethlehem, a virgin named Mary had a little boy that would be the savior of the world. Satan had to take another look, and he had to revamp his strategy plan because Jesus was coming with the antidote that was necessary to remove the sin, and it was called his precious blood. Hallelujah, y'all. Now he had to revamp and get another strategic plan, but now he had to take Jesus out by any means necessary. So we see in Matthew, he tried to tempt Jesus and asked Jesus to turn the bread and turn the stone into bread. Jesus told him, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. He couldn't get him with that because, you see, that was take care of a physical thing. Then he told him to jump off a high place, trying to get Jesus to do it, to tempt God. And he was going to gain political power and have Jesus worship him. See, that was his goal, if he could get Jesus on his side. And then Jesus was no longer trying to get us to be saved. Satan would be in a good field position. Ah. Satan now planned to rule the world through Jesus, but Jesus refused his bidding. Jesus didn't go for that. So, now what? Satan has never stopped trying and in some cases it sometimes seems that if he's winning, which gives him false hope, because we all know how the story ends. Because 3 days after Jesus' death burial, he's going to rise again, hallelujah, with all power and authority in his hand. And that still won't stop Satan. You know, there are some people can't stand to lose. I would ask y'all the name of somebody y'all know right here and today, and it's very obvious, can't stand to lose, and they don't want to give up by no means necessary. That's kind of like the picture of Satan knowing that Jesus has the victory, but he's going to keep trying because he might make a change some kind of way. Satan does get some to take the spirit of the Antichrist. And I'm going to give you some examples. Remember Cain? You remember King Abad had that evil wife Jezebel? What about Adolf Hitler? Y'all know what he did. And then we had Judas Iscariot. who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And if I could come into today's time, I could give you the most recent one that I can put in this category. And I can say that I believe that Donald Trump and the Republican Senate could belong to that group. And I could go on and on just to name a few. And Satan hasn't stopped. And he's not going to give up until God puts him in the pits of hell. And then and only then will he will be stopped. But now, tonight, in the book of Revelation 13, we will see him shooting his best shot. Open your Bibles to chapter 13. I'm starting reading at the 13th chapter, the first and the second verse. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and above his horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his head the name blasphemy. 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his great authority. You know, when people look at the book of Revelation, because it's filled with so much symmetry and imagery, it's hard for them to really grasp. And really and truly, I can remember coming up when they used to teach, the preachers wouldn't teach Revelation, and they'd say it, if you read the book of Revelation, you could go crazy, and it was like, ooh, spooky and stuff. I'm going to give you a little food for thought. Why would a holy God who wrote the Holy Bible to give us instructions, to reveal himself to us, to keep us from being in the dark, why would he include a book in his holy book that first you couldn't understand, second it was going to make you go crazy, and 3 have you shaking in your boots? But tonight we're in Revelation 13. Now, when I read this here, it's a lot of imagery. I want you to know that the book of Revelation was, I like to call it, an autobiography of Jesus Christ. See, when this book was about to be written, God gave Jesus the revelation that he wanted to be written in the book. Jesus, in turn, gave it to the angel. The angel, in turn, gave it to John. Now, when John described this as horns and heads and leopards and bears and all of this, this is one thing you got to remember. This is not necessarily what John saw, that he saw come out of the sea. But some things in Revelation, God tell John, write this down. In other words, write exactly what I say. And God give John a vision, and he saw this sea coming out of the sea. He saw this beast coming out of the sea. John had to describe it to write it. You know how when you see somebody that's really so horrible and I don't mean nobody dirty or anything like that, but somebody you know so rotten to the core, and you look at him, you might say he looked like a snake, you know. So you got to remember, when John wrote this, this is how John described the look of the beast that he saw. But I come to tell you right now, the beast is representative of the Antichrist, all right? And he's the false prophet. John saw the Antichrist coming out of the sea in actuality. And this is the way he described him. And he's the Antichrist. But I want you to know that the Antichrist is a counterfeit. He's more counterfeit than a $7 bill. You see, Satan is not the creator, so he can only imitate. So what do he imitate? He imitate what he has seen God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit do. You see, the sea here represent people, a large group of people. So he's saying he saw the Antichrist come out from among the people. He didn't jump out of sea of water, but come out from among the people. That's what it's saying. And the beast from the sea, which is the large amount of people, was coming to be a part of the Antichrist system, which this is the Antichrist, and he wants to have all political power. That's the job of this first beast. He's trying to get all political power worldwide. One world order, one world establishment of money. You know how they say you're going to be able to write checks no more, and you got to have a card, and you got to do this, and you got to do it. It's working towards that, y'all. So that's what this Antichrist is doing, to have total political power. He wants to receive the total global world power. You see, when John received the vision, it is not representative of what he saw, but how he described it. You see, the heads he talked about, in other words, it showed dominion. We have said before that the number 10, he had the 10 crowns on his head, the 10 horns and 10 crowns. The number 10 represent world government. And the horns show power. Now, you got to realize, if God is letting John see these visions, and John got the right, John have a lot of discernment of the spirit. Come on, y'all. And you see, when you have discernment of the spirit, you see things that's not so obvious. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. We know then that this is something to do with world government and the one who wishes to rule it. That's the first beast in this scripture, and that beast is the Antichrist. Follow me. You see, he resembles a leopard. John just saying he was moving quickly, y'all. A bear that shows strength, whatever he was doing, and a lion of power. See, people have taken this, and when you see pictures of stories or movies about the Antichrist, you see all of these imageries. But some people believe that's how the Antichrist is going to come back. But that's the imagery and the way that John described it from his imagination and from his discernment that was given to him, I'm sure, with such a great task that had been given to him by Jesus Christ from the Father, by the angel. You see, and now the dragon, who, you know, is going to be the dragon they talked about, gave him the power. Now, let me tell you this. In this verse, the dragon is Satan. So what is saying? The dragon, who is Satan, is giving power to the Antichrist. Follow me. Satan can't create. He can only duplicate. A common tactic of Satan is to imitate or counterfeit the things of God in order to make himself appear to be God. And when I see these imitations in the scripture, I'm going to let you know them as I get them. That's why I wanted you to have your Bible. And you could have marked down that the dragon was Satan and that the first beast was the Antichrist. We're going to go to Revelation 13, 3, and I'm going to read 3, 4, 5, all the way to 8. Hallelujah. Revelation 3 and 13. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. Watch this, y'all. John is telling a story. John, the one wrote the book of Revelation, penned it. He said, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. John saw the Antichrist coming from among the people. He described it with the imagery, and he saw that he had a bad wound on his head. But now he said the wound was healed. Now, the Antichrist, in the midst of the people, had a bad wound through some satanic power. The wound was healed. Now look what the next piece of the verse says. And all the world wondered after the beast. Satan is using things that people who, all of these people, first of all, let me tell you this, I'm sorry. We're talking about the period of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation. The tribulation is going to be 7 years. The first 3 years, God's going to do his thing. The second 3 years, the Antichrist is going to be doing his thing. So we in the part of the Antichrist, and he is using everything that God had used. Remember, the people living in the tribulation, these are people that hadn't accepted Christ by the time of the rapture. So all of the people of God up until that point are gone. But there are people that still living on earth that God is now giving them a second chance. But it's going to be so hard because the Antichrist have reigned. And God have allowed it. But it's just for a short period. God and them 3.5 years, just like God allowed Satan to deal with Job, he's allowing the Antichrist to deal with the unsaved people. So his head was wounded, and now the wound is healed, and verse 4, and they worship the dragon, Satan, which gave the power to Antichrist. The Antichrist is trying to draw attention and power to Satan because that's his job. And they worship the beast. The beast, again, is the Antichrist, who is like, and look at the people. This is what the people began to say. Follow me in your scripture. Who is like unto the beast? Talking about the Antichrist, who is able to make war with him. They saying, man, this man got it going on. Ain't nobody going to be greater than him. And that's how people began to believe. Verse 5. And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given to him to continue for 42 months. That's what I'm telling you. God gave him and allowed him to have power for those 42 months. And 42 months is 3.5 years. Second half of the tribulation. 6. And he opened his mouth with blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, which is heaven. Talking bad about heaven. And them that dwell in heaven, angels and the glorified saints. That's us. See, we're going to be gone with Jesus in a rapture. And he's talking about us like a dog. He's probably telling the people they ain't no good and they ain't real and God didn't do this and Jesus didn't do this and Jesus didn't die. He's just talking. But you don't know, if you never knew and studied for yourself, and he make it sound good, which I'm sure he did. Even the best of Christians would have to be strong. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, the dragon, which is Satan, has given the Antichrist to go into war with the saints, and God is going to allow him to have his way for 3 years. That's the best picture I could paint for you right now. And to overcome him, the Antichrist is going to make war and overcome them. And the power was given to him over all kindreds. The power given to him was all kindreds, all tongues and nations. And verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship them. Watch this. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Everybody whose name not in the book of life at that point is going to worship, because that's the only unsaved people. You see, these scriptures introduce the first beast, who is the Antichrist. Its purpose is to seek all political and government power. I told you the beast was wounded, but let me show you this point. He was in the sea, and the sea represents the midst of the people. He had a big wound on his head, a wound that caused him to die. He probably fell down right from the wound. But watch what he did. He had the wound on his head, but he got up. The people got excited. I read y'all that. The people start worshiping him. Now, I told you that he's only an imitator and a perpetrator. Hallelujah. But this is one of the great imitation moves he's making. When he got up, he appeared to have the power to heal. Come on, y'all. And then, since he was dead, he was like he was performing a resurrection. And I got even more to believe, y'all. But isn't that mimicking God the Father? God, Jesus had all those wounds from his crucifixion. But in 3 days, he got up. So see, Satan know the word of God probably better than some of us. But look what he did. He knew that, and he's fixing to try to establish his kingdom by mimicking, because the more things he mimics, some people are familiar with it, because all the people who didn't believe except Christ, it's not that they don't know something about the word of God. Some of them really studied it like an atheist or a Gnostic. They just didn't accept Jesus as the Savior. So when they see that the healing took place in the resurrection, they may have thought, and I'm sure some of them did, that this must be the one. The people was amazed, and they worship him. You see, the people was looking for the Savior. Excuse, everybody who didn't believe in Jesus was still waiting for the Messiah and the Savior. They was looking for someone charismatic, brilliant, and attractive. So when he came here with these tricks and all of these powers, they say that he probably was the one. But I could tell you what, they got him. All those that believe in the tribulation, they accepted him and they got him. But he turned out to be more than they bargained for, because he was harsh. He was brutal. He reigned with unjust. He was unfair. Come on, y'all. He was one-sided, and he definitely had respect of persons, the opposite of God. So I'm going to read verse 9. They say, if any man have an ear, let him hear. 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killed it with a sword shall be killed with a sword. And it say, here is the patience and the faith of a saint, of the saints. You know, I like it when I get these tidbits here. Jesus is showing John all of this treacherous stuff. And then John, he stopped in 9 and say, he that have an ear, let him hear. It's almost like he's giving John a break. He's saying, if you've got an ear and you hear the word, you better keep it. That's why he say patience of faith. He say, and you better watch out, because those that kill by the sword, which the Antichrist and their demons, that's the way they do it. He says they're gonna die by the sword. So when I looked at this, I say that God will punish those that do evil. The beast and his followers will be overthrown and judged. Believe me, patience is perseverance or endurance. That's for us. who have genuine saving power will endure all the persecution of the beast if they still left there and they believe in God. Because remember, in this tribulation, even God then took away the dead, the saved that was dead or alive. They went up in a rapture, but the people on who was in the tribulation with all of this terrible stuff going on, many is still going to be saved. So he's telling them to hold on with patience because he got this. You see, this is just another way of saying whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Those who teach false doctrine, y'all know that's going on today, to his neighbor will go into captivity, and so will cause his neighbor to go into captivity, but the ones who taught it will go there as well. In Revelation 11, I'm going to read 11 all the way to 15, and it says, and behold, another beast. Now, the Antichrist was the first beast. Now John is fixing to introduce us to the second beast. And behold, another beast came up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Now, the dragon, which is Satan, then sent the Antichrist that's going to have the people worship the devil. And now the second beast then came. The scriptures say he has the same power of the first beast, and he's got to get the people to accept the Antichrist. Y'all, I'm painting a picture here, but I'm going to give you the answer to it a little bit later. And he does great wonders. The phrase used, Jesus' great miracles. See, he did what Jesus did. Ain't that amazing? So that he make fire come from heaven to the earth inside of the people. That's copycat. You know the prophet Elijah in the Bible had fire come down from heaven. See, the things that Satan knew that men, that God, the prophets, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit does, and the saints of God did and does, he's using that to attract the people. He's throwing them off their game. He's a counterfeit, an imitator. 14, he and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image of the beast. Now, he's wanting them to make an image of the beast, to worship it. That would be worshiping idol gods. He used that because if y'all remember in the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom had made a golden image of him. And that's how Daniel got thrown in a lion's den. Because everybody at a certain time was supposed to bow down and worship the idol god. Daniel in the Bible refused. And because that, he was thrown in the lion's den. But of course, God took care of the lion. And when they opened the door to see that he was devoured by the lion, he was laying in the lion's chest. But Satan is imitating y'all. And he deceived them that was on the earth. Those miracles which he had power to do on earth, that they should make an image. That's what I just said. And that's, I gave you the imitation of what he was trying to imitate. The fire from heaven and the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, which had the wound by its sword and didn't live. They were saying that the Antichrist was wounded by the sword. That's what we talked about earlier. They still bringing that up, but they letting you know he was healed because they still trying to entice the people. You remember? He was wounded, but he lived. And it goes on to say 15, and he that had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both sweet speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now he got the beast dead. What he telling? Who all don't worship the beast, that they would be killed. That's the second beast. I told you the first beast. I told you, now I'm telling you the scripture starts with the second beast. I want you to know that the second beast is the second beast is the false prophet and false teacher, whose role is to bring people into worship of the first beast. The beast will perform such miracles, work for humanity, that Christ himself doesn't warn us to watch out for false teachers, false prophets, because they're going to come with satanic power, which is limited and only what God allows, but it could be enough to get some to believe. So the second beast, which is going to be the false prophet and the false teacher, he's coming to get one world religion. His part is to get everybody with a religious tone that the Antichrist is the Messiah and that God is the Father. And here, y'all got to see this. Satan here is formulating his unholy trinity. Y'all know we have a holy trinity. And he is right now, Satan don't have nothing new at all. He just jived at the beast. But right now, he's forming an unholy trinity by mimicking God. You see, the holy trinity, God the Father sent his son Jesus. So the dragon, which is Satan, sent his son, the Antichrist. And as the Son Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose, so will the Antichrist send the false prophet to carry out the program of the Antichrist. And remember this, the Antichrist will be primarily trying to get political power over the whole world and be a military leader. But the false prophet or false teachers will be the religious leader. They will want to be the priest. They probably won't be the pope of the whole world, and everybody will be under one government and one religion, and the Antichrist going to be ruling and trying to do everything Satan asks him to do. So if we look at verse 16, and he calls all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark on their right hand and on their forehead, 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What he's going to start doing is trying to do that one world order. And everybody that believes Satan, he's going to give them a mark. Now, it's going to be trying time. Because, of course, the ones with the mark, that's just like some people say they're selling their soul to the devil, and a lot of people think that Illuminati's been sold their souls to the devil, so that's why they're excelling so greatly and things like that. But you got to have the mark. Now, this, I need to give you this picture. The world in the last tribulation is going to be a world just like we know. People are going to be buying, selling, getting married, selling, making money, greed is still going to be there. I'm sure crooks going to be there, thieves going to be there. It's going to still be a world, y'all. But he's going to have the power. So everything as we know it is going to be operating there. So what this scripture is saying, if you don't have the meat, the mark, you won't be able to go to the store and get what you want. You might go to the store And if they have first quality, second quality, and third quality, you'll probably be able to eat, but you might have to buy the third. You might could only get the third quality. You know, you'll just get the leftovers. You'll get the crumbs in a sense. But you see, when greed is in a place, even though you don't have a mark, y'all got to remember, people always find a way, and God can always make a way for his children. So I'm sure they're going to have people got the mark but want more money that buy the stuff and sell it to the people without the mark. I don't know how it's going to happen, but just imagine, y'all, God makes a way for his people. You see, the mark, the Antichrist will have a similar requirement, one that will need to be visible on the hand or the forehead. You see, he's copping God again, y'all. You see, because God seals his people with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which shows ownership of who we belong to. So now the copycat, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, want his people to have a mark showing that they belong to him. You see, this mark acts as a seal for his followers. The false prophet, which is the second beast, is the one who causes the people to take the mark. It's really not a matter. It's not going to matter how rich you are. You will still have to have the mark to do things that rich people do. You see, without the mark, people ain't going to be able to engage in routine businesses. And it's not just merely economics that's going to be affected. It is also a worship system. So probably the children of God that's believing in God and don't take the mark, they're not going to be able to worship God openly at this time. Whatever religion that the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan want at that time, and it's probably, well, whatever it's going to be, but the ones who worship God is not going to probably be able to do it openly. And I was asked the question, if you receive the mark of the beast and you change your mind, can you revert it? I want to tell you no. Remember, though, if you receive the mark in your head or your right hand, you will seal your doom with God. You see, our security is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Accepting the mark is rejection of Jesus Christ. This is permanent, irrevocable, irreversible, and it's total rejection. So no. And our last verse, and you got to take this with the way in which it is written. In 18, John said, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 600, 60, which is 60 and 6. So I want y'all to know that the Antichrist, it's going to be a man and a false prophet as well. That's why they say a lot of the preachers, y'all know, big time preachers may be the false prophet. And, you know, they done said a lot of people over the years it's the Antichrist. Some people say it was Obama. Some say it's Donald Trump. You know, some people say it's the Pope. You know, they have all kind of names that they think is going to fit into this thing. But the number 666 is the number of the beast. Now, I'm not going to give y'all no magical thing that I have found the solution, because it say here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. People have taken people name in Greek and Hebrew and even in Latin, because those letters have a number represented with an alphabet. So they take them alphabet and they take the number and they find an alphabet that it go to, and they make a mathematic, it's all kind of things going on, but this is what I could tell you tonight, me. 666 will somehow identify the beast. And I come to tell you again, I'm going to say it again. The Antichrist is going to be a man. And the false prophet is going to be a man that's going to take on the spirit and be Satan's followers, which we have a lot of followers of Satan. Now, you could go on the internet and find Satan churches all around, the Church of Satan, and things like that. So, but precisely how 666 is connected to the beast is not the main point. You see, the Bible often used the number 7 to refer to God in his perfection. See, 7 is the number of perfection, the number of completion. So the number 6 was given to man because man is short of perfection than God, but he's more than the animals and stuff. 6 is thought to be the number of man. And why they say this, and so many say it, because man was created on the 6th day and always falling short. So if 7 was perfection, 6 would be shorter than perfection. You see, the beast, the Antichrist, will strive to be like God. He will likely even claim to be God. Y'all remember when Donald Trump said he was the chosen one? He even said that he do more for black people than God. Just as the number 6 falls short of the number 7, so will the beast and the Antichrist with his trinity of the sixes ultimately fail in his effort to defeat God. And God is so much, if 6, they have some things like the number 8. 888 would really be representative of God because it's more perfection than 7. But anyway, if you want to deal with numbers. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the numbers. I don't, of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. However, the number 666 will identify the Antichrist. For centuries, Bible's interpreters have been trying to identify the actual person that's going to be the Antichrist and the actual person that's going to be the false prophet. But you see, when the Antichrist is revealed, the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4 tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It's going to come a time he's going to be revealed. And 4 of 2 Thessalonians say, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God. See, the Antichrist going to get so much power, he's going to sit it in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then it will be clear who he is and how and why the number 666 identifies. I believe that when this time comes, those with discernment of the word will know exactly what it means. But until then, I don't know. But it does represent, hallelujah, y'all, it does represent the Antichrist. I didn't think I could do it, but it's 9:30. Glory be to God. So rather than keep going, because I could reiterate on what I'm saying, I just want you to remember that God has a holy trinity, and Satan is faking with his unholy trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. That's why it's so bad when, you know, men of God teach people the wrong way, false prophets and false teachers and all of that. And they really getting you to turn away from God because it's not the truth. The Holy Ghost reveals the truth to us. That's his job. And the false prophet's job is to reveal falseness to the people so they could believe that the Antichrist, which is also the false Messiah, is the one. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm open up for questions, comments, concerns, anything that you may want to say at this time. Just press the one button on your phone, and I'll be glad to open up your mic. And I hope this cleared up a little bit about Revelation, and I hope this 13th chapter with the way that it was explained can help you as you go through the book of Revelation for yourself. I only gave information. The Holy Ghost is ready to give illumination and revelation, but you got to get the word in you so he could get it out of you, and that's your part. Anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button at this time. Well, I'm going to just press Minister Mackey's mic open because she had pressed her one button to give me a prompt to let me know that y'all couldn't hear. So if she has something, to, the one button won't work again. So I'm going to just ask, and if not, we're going to go on.
Around, well,
no, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say except the Lord build a house. They have...
Praise the God. She was cut off. Let me get her back. That wasn't right. We heard you say the Lord build a house, and we didn't hear you after that.
I said, except the Lord build a house, they that build labors in vain.
Praise the Lord. That's like he said, those who, yeah, you don't read what you sow. Huh. Well, that's it for tonight, y'all. It's time for our benediction. And I usually say the same benediction, but I think it's so appropriate for this time because this is time for us to grow in knowledge and study our word and all these things. So I'm going to just tell you like Peter said. Peter suggested and asked that we grow. Check yourself out. Are you the same today that you was 5 years ago in the word of God? Grow. Do you read your Bible more today than you did before? Grow. In hard times like these, with everything going on, it's time for prayer, y'all. Do you pray more these days in 2020 than you prayed before? Because so much is going on, trials, tribulation, and adversities. Peter's asking us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now and forevermore. And that's our lesson for the night. God be with you till we meet again. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, guys. See you next week if it's God's will and your desire. Good night. Be blessed.